Episode 3. Welcome back to the Psalms Podcast.
Hi, everybody.
I got Elisha here with me.
Hey.
Lancaster, one of our worship leaders at Christian Life and a longtime friend of mine.
Yeah.
We go way back.
Super back. Like,
when did we
meet? I was in like middle school.
Yeah.
And I remember you were one of my like leadership leaders for a leadership class I was taking. Mm-hmm. I think you were interning at that time, and I was one of the high school summer interns, like going into that time.
Yep.
Yeah, super far back.
Many years ago. But we're thankful to have Elisha on the podcast, hear his perspective on worship. And so we're excited. And as we get into today, we have lots that we want to talk through and have conversation over. Before we get into any of that, Elisha, share who you are, some of the people listening. Mm-hmm. And many people at Christian Life, when they see you lead worship, they may not know exactly who you are. So share with us, who is Elisha Lancaster?
Who am I? I'm Elisha Lancaster, obviously. And I've been going to Christian Life Church pretty much all my life. There's a small handful of people who can really say that, like, you just grew up in this church and you're a child of that house. And that's what I am. You may know my parents, Paul and Kalanda Lancaster, who serve on the worship team as well. And so I was just nurtured in that environment, and it just grew me to be the person that I am today, the worship leader that I am today. I'm super honored to be here.
Yeah.
And to just do the service that the Lord has just placed within me at Christian Life.
Yeah. So when your family came to Christian Life, did you guys, at least can you remember, did y'all instantly jump in on the worship team, or did it take time?
I really don't know, because back in the day, my parents were doing worship. My dad was already a musician. He sang and played guitar. And I knew that one of our other pastors, Pastor James Brown, mm-hmm. he knew my parents when they were pregnant with me.
Wow.
So I would say maybe we started going there when I was 2 or 3.
Hmm.
And
all of my life,
yeah. I just remember them on that skating rink stage where the church used to be.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And they're still apart.
Yeah, cool. And they are.
Always
praise God.
Yeah, I love that. That's a testament to churches, and when you see people who have stuck around for so long, and still are actively serving. So shout out to the Lancasters, Paul and Kalanda.
Yeah, they rock.
OG worship.
Love you, Mom and Dad.
So, did you, when you were in church, have you always just kind of had a natural love for Jesus, or did that come along the way? What did that look like for you?
Thinking about when I was growing up, it was always in my life, like always this desire and love for the Lord. Like when I was in elementary school, I wanted to serve in the preschool room. And whenever I was in middle school, I wanted to serve with the elementary school kids. And when I was in high school, I wanted to serve with the middle school kids. You know, like I always had this desire to be in connection with the Lord, be learning about his teachings, learn about the Bible, and to be putting those gifts, those practices in for others and just serving.
Yeah, because I remember when I came around to Christian Life, it was 2012. No, it was 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Is when I first started to come. And I remember, honestly, the first room I ever walked into was the upstairs kids area. And it was you and 3 or 4 others that were the first people that I met at Christian Life. And
oh,
we were
crazy.
Preparing worship for youth camp that summer.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking about you and some of the others, like, man, these young people are legit. They love Jesus. And I was in college at the time, and you all were in high school, I guess. And I just remember thinking, man, that guy, Elisha, he's on fire for Jesus.
That's crazy.
And as you know, we went to camp that summer, and I've just stuck around ever since.
Yeah.
And we connected on a mentor level for a while, and would meet up weekly and grab coffee or go eat. You'd come over, hang out with me and Tara. And it was just really neat to be a part of that season of watching you grow in the middle school, high school days.
Right, right.
Be on fire for Jesus.
Pretty much all of high school.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it went.
Yep. And then, so yeah, you on fire for Jesus up until now. What has that been like?
I mean, there, in my walk with Christ, there have been areas in my life where, you know, I may have strayed away, in the past, not now.
Yeah.
But the awesome thing is that the Lord and his plan that he had for me when it came to worship ministry, he still had that. And as soon as I got replugged in about, I don't know, was that 3.5 years ago, almost 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, you're back on the mission. Like it's time to get locked in and, you know, serve.
Yeah. So and, you went through a short season.
Yeah.
Of, you know, straying away or just taking some time to really figure out who you were.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people now at Christian Life, I remember hearing people say, who's that new guy, Elisha?
Oh, man.
It's like, no, he's been crazy. Here. It's just, but there was that gap period where, you know, I always joke and tell you it was your prodigal moment.
You
really had to go through a season of life to just, I don't know, maybe make your faith your own and just recommit your life to Jesus.
Yeah.
And one of my coolest memories, because, you know, we would meet weekly. And, you know, I noticed as, you know, a mentor in your life, I watched that tension and that struggle come for you. You're serving all the time. And I saw, you know, the tiredness start to settle in. And, you know, so you drifted away for a season. Which is, you know, if you just pause and acknowledge that, I just think it's so neat that the Lord never gave up on you. And for me, from my perspective, you know, as a mentor in your life, watching that happen, I remember being so torn, like, dang, what do I do? Do I just snatch him up and make him come back and or what? And it's just really neat to see the faithfulness of God, even when we wander away, you know, he brings the prodigals home. And so I remember when you started to come back around and started to see your fire for Jesus come back, and the people on the worship team started to ask you to sing again, and they didn't tell me. So it was Better and Brighter. I don't know what I don't know what year it was, but
it was that was 2021.
Okay, so this is when we had Better and Brighter at the church, and they didn't tell me who all they recruited to help with worship. And so I remember sitting in the back of the gathering room on the couch preparing a message, and the worship team trickled in and y'all were doing sound check. And I wasn't paying much attention. People were talking to me. And I remember when y'all started to run through the song, it was you leading us, and they didn't tell me that. So I now know that they pressured you into helping Better and Brighter worship again.
I mean, it really wasn't pressure. It was like, it was knew that I needed to do this, and it was a great opportunity for me to like just jump back in.
Yeah.
And like with any youth thing or like a camp, it's so low risk.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, God, you know, like,
They're
you had me with
anything.
Youth group. Yeah. So like, you know, it just translates. Like, I can do that again.
I remember I had to like stop for a minute because I was pretty emotional back there on the couch. And I remember somebody asking, what's wrong? I'm like, I just didn't know if I would ever hear that again, talking about you leading worship. And it was just a really neat moment for me to again see the faithfulness of God.
Right.
Even though, you know, you went through your years or so of wandering away, God went and got you and brought you back. And I remember just being so pumped that night, thinking, man, I never thought I would hear Elisha sing
when, again. When you told me that, it was
awesome.
Crazy. I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, I'm not even thinking about it. Like, when it was happening and I was doing the worship for that camp, it just like, oh yeah, we are like full circle. Yeah. Like 100%, like not halfway, like where I would do background or I did the choir. My first time back on the stage was the choir on Easter, I think that same year. And then they started putting me on background vocal and, you know, just making sure I had my head on my shoulders, right. You know? And so I had a lot of people in my corner just like ministering to me from behind the scenes. Like we had Pastor Ron, Sean.
Yeah.
And my parents are always, you know, doing that. But yeah, it was like, oh man, like we're going full circle and I'm over here, I'm hanging out with Landon.
Yeah. And I love sharing that story because, you know, there's so many people even maybe listening to the podcast that know family members, even their own kids or friends that have strayed away and maybe once they were on fire for Jesus and maybe now they have strayed. And I just share that story and thank you for sharing it too on just hopefully giving some hope that even those that have strayed away, God can bring them back.
Oh yeah.
And he is the God that chases us down and brings the prodigals home. And so, yeah, like I was on that couch, you know, trying to write a message through some tears, listening to you sing again. The Lord can do the same for all of our loved ones. He can bring them back and maybe we'll see them worshiping again or singing again or whatever they did.
In Jesus' name.
But yeah, and so now you've stuck around and now you're a worship leader. But we've been through a lot. We've known each other really at least since 2013. And so you and I have had many crazy.
We're getting old.
Yeah, we are. We are. I have gray hair now a little bit on the side. But when I met you, I was not married.
No.
And now I'm married to Tara with four kids. So you've seen my life progress and I've seen yours. But as we look back, we've been through so many worship experiences.
Oh, man.
Good, bad. Chaotic, crazy. So I'm curious to talk through that some. If you look back on all the worship times we've had, do any crazy or funny or powerful ones stick out to you?
Oh my gosh. I know that there's this one that was absolutely embarrassing. So it was you, me, Tara, and I think Sydney Russum back in the day. We were doing kind of like our youth band does Sunday worship.
Yeah.
And I had just led this one song and we were doing like the last song. And for some reason, I could not get rid of this cough and I just coughed the whole entire song. It's like the whole song. And I was so embarrassed. Like I thought I was going to throw up.
Oh no!
Like so bad.
On the stage.
On the stage, very Sunday emotional. Morning. Man. That is one that haunts me. But I'm like, well, you know, Lord, it's not going to get any worse than that. Yeah. So, you know,
if it helps you, I do not remember that moment. Maybe I blocked it out because it was so bad.
It was because I prayed extra hard that night. So. Everyone forget.
No. That's the worst, leading worship when you're sick.
Yeah. And it's like, I wasn't sick. I couldn't sing with proper technique and I was just wearing out my vocal cords and just started, you know, just catching irritating. Up. Yeah. Yeah. And it caught up to me.
Yeah.
That was one crazy one. There were times we went to Albania and on a mission trip with how many of us? There was like
probably
like 15 or 20.
16 of us.
We were going to these like underground churches and just doing worship for them. And it was just super powerful. Even if it's like... what to us seems like this small, like dingy room, no AC, no nothing. And we're just singing these songs in English and hoping that they all understand. I remember one night there was one where Pastor Ron was preaching and we came and did worship at the end, and and we were supposed to be closing out the service because like you have to be really diligent with time because like you never know in countries like that. And I remember wanting to continue on with a song, and then like Pastor Ron looking back at me with the rotating finger, like, come on, like we need to wrap it up. Like that was another funny moment.
Well, so but, let's talk about that because when we were in Albania, at least to my memory, I just remember the rooms were super stale. The lights were like 100% on, and like your, you know, normal fluorescent lights. And it was pretty hot in the room. So like the environment was just stale.
Right.
But the worship was so powerful.
Yeah, it was awesome. And
I just find that so interesting that it seems like now there's almost like a requirements in certain people. Like it has to be this way, look this way, sound this way, feel this way, and then I'm going to have a powerful. And it's just always blows my mind how you can have none of those things and have just the most powerful worship times. Why do you think it's that way?
I mean, we don't need a fog machine to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. I think it just has to do with people's desperation. And like, how much do they need God? How much do they desire him? And how much do they desire to be in his presence? I was thinking about this the other day. Like, if you are in corporate worship, imagine if one believer is really like digging into the word. Like, let's say the worship leader, for instance, they're really digging into the word, like they're praying and fasting for just this Sunday in particular, how much the room can change. Now imagine if the whole congregation was doing that, praying and fasting and like pushing and striving to get that nearness to God. And then you come together in corporate worship and it is explosive. So all of those other things, the lights, the words on the screen, or what you're wearing, whatever, all of that stuff fades away. And we just get to like bask in this presence of the Holy Spirit.
It's such a tension that I hope that we at Christian Life and any believer can find. Because, yeah, you just said it. You hit the nail on the head. All of those countries in Albania that we've been to. And I know for me, I've been to Jamaica and Africa and so many different countries. And most are filled with people living in poverty, living in persecution, and their dependence on the Lord is unlike anything we know, most of us at least, as American believers, so to speak. They depend on the Lord to eat. They depend so much on the Lord for provision, and they depend on the Lord for safety. They don't know if somebody's going to bust in at any moment and shut it all down. And so there is something about what you just said, that dependence and desperation for the Lord leads to radical times of corporate worship. Because when we'd go there and we'd lead songs, it didn't matter what we sang. It didn't matter. I mean, so many times on a missions trip, you know, it's hot, your guitar's out of tune. They don't care.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's not to say we would do that here, because we want to be, you know, as excellent as we can be and have in-tune instruments. But they don't care. And it's just because they're desperate for a radical touch from God and to worship him and lift his name high.
It's like, I get this opportunity to have corporate worship. Like I've been worshiping in my prayer closet or in my privacy of my own home. And, you know, we get to like travel to this maybe underground church, and it's like the anticipation, it's like, oh, like we're going to be in the presence of God with all these other believers.
It's an honor and a privilege to be in the presence of God. And it's in those environments like that you see that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen it in Albania. And I remember the traveling to all the different churches, and some of the rooms were really crammed and small, mm-hmm. and some were pretty good sized rooms. We traveled. I remember going to you to Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember.
Oh, my gosh.
We went to the Together.
It was the gathering. David's Tent.
Okay, yeah. Were they? So, yeah, what was that? Remind me.
So, that was, we had this tent stationed up right in front of the White House. Mm-hmm. And it was 24 hours of worship and prayer.
Constant.
And so, we had a couple time slots that we came in and just did worship for. And we spent some nights there. And, man, it was so awesome.
Yeah.
Just like, it would be like horrible weather, gloomy, like kind of that weather when it's just sprinkling all the time.
Yep.
Horrible. Ground is muddy, but everybody is like so infatuated with the Lord in that moment and just praying over the country.
Mm.
And it's that, like, man, cool. Like we get to like sing worship right in front of the Capitol.
Yeah.
That's
David's Tent, named after David's Tabernacle that had 24/7 mm-hmm. worship. Night and day. And I forget how long they kept that going, but it was a while.
I still get emails about it. Like
months long.
Yeah, it's still kind of, I think they still have something ongoing now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's still there, but it's insane.
Yeah, and then, you know, we go back to camp.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those early times of youth camp worship.
Oh, man.
I always wonder why. Why do you think those moments there were so powerful, like they were? It was just two guitars and four vocalists.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Maybe a piano. Maybe. If we got it to work.
Yeah.
yeah. I think it's just the same thing whenever it comes to like a group of people really striving for the Lord for like days on end.
Yeah.
And whenever like the world and their distractions kind of leave you, and you get to like focus on the King, just so much more can like come out of you. As a worship leader at that time, I was kind of almost in, let's say, the shadow of you guys, like Landon, Tara, and Sydney. And I remember really like finding my voice as a worship leader, as my own person within the group. And not just feeling like, oh, I'm just some backup guy. Like, no, if I have something on my heart, it's like I can say it. Yeah. Or if the Lord gives me something to sing out prophetically, I can sing it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that is what happened with me. And some of my most like pivotal worship moments ever in my life that kind of was the seal of my faith happened at camp.
Yeah.
When I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, ones where you're just like sobbing on the concrete floor of Horton Haven.
Yeah.
And
in the chapel.
Yeah. Yeah. In the chapel. And it's like 6 p.m. And then we just keep, you know, going in worship. And like, this was like before you, but just staying on that camp theme. It was almost like a miniature like revival going on in there. Yeah. Like you have like a bunch of kids praying over kids. Kids going up to like the altar and like just bowing and leaders praying over the kids. Just insane. Just things.
Yeah.
Supernatural moments, things happening.
Revival, like you said.
Changing kids' lives.
And we're about to gear up here in a few weeks to do it all again.
Youth so camp. Excited.
It's going to be awesome. I look back at that season and agree that season for me, being a little college intern that just got to be a part, that was so forming the worship heart. Because again, it was teaching us to not depend on lights or stages, or it was just super raw times. And we would constantly find ourselves, me, you, and Tara, and Sydney, you know, if we had a living room to worship in. Dude. You would often find us in there breaking into spontaneous worship. If we had 15 minutes of downtime, we were going to be absolutely singing Sinking Deep.
Oh my gosh.
Songs like that. If you look back at all of the songs we used to sing, what would you say is your like top three?
Oh my gosh.
Old school songs.
An old school song, dude.
That we used to sing. Sinking Deep's number one.
Sinking Deep is pretty good.
By Hillsong.
Yeah. Man, there's so many. I feel like it's been, like, I'm trying to think that time pretty much only. Sinking Deep, I would say like Beautiful Exchange.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful Exchange. I loved Let It Rain by Jesus Culture. Uh-huh. Like, I don't know what that was. I think that was like one of the first songs where it's just like, we're going to sing this over and over until it like happens type thing. You know, because it's just like, let it rain, open the floodgates of heaven. And then we want to see you. Show us your glory. We want to know you more. And that is the whole entire song. And it like really opened my just life to like the soaking deep, intimate worship.
That's cool.
So many songs like that.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, we're going to sing this until it
over
happens.
Over and over and over. It's like
so good.
Yeah. As we've been studying the Psalms this summer, I've just have been seeing so much in the Psalms and even in like church history on the old songs they used to sing. I think it was the writer of doxology.
Yeah.
You know, praise God from whom all blessings
flow.
The guy who wrote that, he wrote that for a group of students at a college. And in fact, I think that there's a college that it's still like a tradition, like at a certain time, during soccer games, they stop the game and they sing that song.
That was on the Worship Initiative podcast this
that's
morning.
That's where I heard it.
Yeah. So, like, they would have a soccer game, and at 6:06, they would stop the game entirely.
That's crazy.
And we're going to sing this doxology and just like reframe.
Exactly.
Like, we're just going to
remind, put everything right back into perspective. And the guy who wrote the song, the reason I bring this up, that is where I heard it. It was the Worship Initiative. He said that he wrote doxology so that students can remind their soul of the worth of God.
So good.
And I just find that repetition in worship songs.
Yeah.
Nothing against songs that have verse, chorus, second verse, chorus, bridge, back to the core. But those songs that almost just have like two choruses and that's it. Just the repetitive. There's something about the Let It Rains out there where you just sing the same thing and some of you're just reminding your soul.
I heard something about like why we love to do that is because like we were built for eternity. And like if the heavenly beings can say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts all day and night, you know, we're built kind of like the same way. We can just keep going on and on because it's like our spirit, like our soul is like dying for this. And when our flesh gets tired, that's when we kind of, all right, I'm sick of this song now. But
so Sinking Deep's number one. Let It Rain's up there.
Yeah.
You said Beautiful Exchange. So we're giving you all these songs. If you're listening, you need to go check these songs out.
Yeah.
Because they used to move us in deep times of worship.
Oh man.
A bonus one that I love that we used to sing. I forget the name of it. It's like the We Love You. We'll never stop. When you walk into the room.
Yeah.
I just was singing that the other day. That's a good one.
Dude, we had so many
so
classics.
Go check out these worship songs. Remember, the heart behind this podcast is hopefully to motivate you to live a life of worship.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if you're listening now, we're just telling some old stories because we go way back and it's been fun, Elisha, to walk with you through many seasons of life and to have many rooms of worship, different countries, different contexts.
Yeah,
but I'm thankful to still be in another room with you, worshiping the Lord in a different way, just having conversation. But let's continue to talk about some of the things we have planned. you know, again, the heart behind this podcast is to move our church family and even other believers listening. Our heart is that every believer would become a worshiper and that they would live lives marked by worship, daily lives where they would find time in the car or alone at home or with other believers, just singing to the Lord and worshiping Him. So why do you think, I'm curious to hear your perspective, why do you think that that is so important, that believers should live a lifestyle of worship really in their daily life?
We are all called to worship. It doesn't matter what our voice sounds like or if we can't play an instrument. It's like this thing in us that was designed. We are built to worship something. And that could be, you know, your job, your passions, your whatever. But ultimately, we need to focus those things on the Lord. And it's just who we are in nature to sing to the Lord. And I like to think of it this way. We're supposed to love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And singing and worship is like a beautiful just capsuling of all of those things in one. It's like we get to use the strength, our physicality in physical surrender by lifting our hands and kneeling or whatever that you do. When we love with our soul, it's like every fiber of our being. And then just talking about like loving the Lord our God with our mind, we are seeing the words, you know, on the screen or the paper, or if you memorized it, we're taking those in, we're thinking about what the song is saying and projecting those back to the Lord so we can consciously send our love to Him. You know, it's, I was talking about this recently on my TikTok account.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to just go to church and be like, all right, Holy Spirit, I really hope you do something. And I just lay there. You know what I mean? That there's nothing wrong with soaking worship and like taking it in. But I want to think about what the writer of this song said, what scriptures were they digging into? And I want to study that so I can really understand the heart, so I can project that heart back to God, so I can give Him like a real raw love. That's just kind of my mindset whenever it comes to like worship, why we should worship. And I mean, He's worth it. You know, He's the only being ever created or to be created or whatever that is actually worth our worship.
He's the eternal, obviously uncreated being, and He's the only one worth it. And so I look a lot of what we've talked about when we were talking about Albania worship and the dependence on the Lord that they had. And then we talk about camp worship, and it's almost setting aside a time. The word that I kept thinking was recalibrate. It's like it's recalibrating.
That's good.
When you go to youth camp, you drown out all the distractions and you recalibrate. You put your focus back to what matters. And so between the dependence and the recalibration, I feel like a daily life of worship is both of those things. It's when I set aside time to worship the Lord through turning on Spotify worship, or for those that maybe can, busting out the old guitar and strumming a few chords in worship, or just singing, you know, be a cappella by yourself. So, but when we sing to the Lord or we worship, we are communicating, God, I am dependent on you today. And again, it's really hard for us because we live in a country where we can take care of ourselves for the most part. We can work jobs, earn money, and we have money in our account, at least most of us do, and we can buy things. And so it's the dependence level that some of those foreign country people experience, we don't even know what that's like. But when we set aside time, I'm putting back into place, God, you're my provider. I depend on you. And it's also like a momentary time of recalibration. God, you're who I'm living life for. It's for your glory, not my glory. So yeah, those two words, dependence and recalibration, when we have time set aside every day to worship and pray to the Lord, it's where leaning into those two realities. Yeah. God, I depend on you, and I'm recalibrating my soul to remind it that you are the one that deserves the glory, and I live my life for you, not for myself.
Yeah.
So important.
Yeah, I remember thinking of this analogy that is really aligned to that. I started thinking, if I'm not worshiping, I am wandering. Because, I mean, you can't just live off the high of the ministry moment. Mm-hmm. You have to be either going forward with the Lord. You have to be moving in the direction of worship. Otherwise, you're just like got your head in the clouds and you can fall away. And your cup isn't being filled.
Yeah.
Then you can give and give and give and have nothing left for yourself.
Yeah.
But if we live in that overflow state, if we live in that worship-filled life, then that's when things start to change. That's when we can progress. Mm. We start growing deep roots. We start producing fruit. That's just been something I've been pondering on lately whenever it comes to like the why. Mm. It's like, why every morning do I listen to my worship devotional? I'll do my Bible devotional, but like, why do we not make a worship devotional more normalized? Mm-hmm. Like, we have to be plugged in on an intimate level with the Lord and not just on a full-on head knowledge only.
So true. You hear that a lot. Mm-hmm. I know I have, especially being a pastor at a church. You obviously, we want all people disciplined in the Word.
Yeah.
That's a life source. We have to do that. It's so important. And so in the Word and in prayer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I see this draw back to not just worship, not just getting in the Word, but also fighting for space to worship. It's so important. And I know that as we study the book of Psalms, you know, this is just what we see in all of these authors, that they knew, you know, their Bible, you know, the first few books of the Old Testament was their Torah. Bible, the Torah. Yeah. But they loved it. They loved the law. So they had their Word, but they were such people of worship too. And so, yeah, that's our heart for this podcast, is to draw people back to that space. And so if you're listening, fight for that. Fight for time set aside in your life to worship the Lord. And if you need songs to start with, we've given you a lot. So go check those out. So speaking of songs, I'm curious for you, Elisha, as you look back through your life, different seasons, has there ever been a worship song that was an anchor to you in a particular season of life?
Oh, man. Back when we were doing the preparations for the fast and we were doing the 24 hours in prayer, I was kind of really like diving in deep to what the Lord had for me. It's kind of like the answer to the call. It's like, okay, I know the job. I got the job, but now it's like, let me really like walk in it with some authority.
So this is the last 24 hours of prayer.
The last 24 hours of prayer
in the fall last year.
And It was such an awesome time in my life. Just like not like me wanting to really take my faith seriously. Like, let me take the Jesus that I worship seriously. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was dealing with a lot of like want, a lot of like material want. I'm like, oh, I want this. I want, you know, I want to get married one day. I want to blah, blah. I want all these shoes, things like, you know what I'm saying? I was just dealing with want. And I'm like, why? Like, this is my main thing. I was going through during the fast, like just some weird thing that got illuminated to me. And there was this song, and it I think it's called More Precious Than Silver. And it just goes, Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. And then it continues on, and nothing I desire compares with you. And man, I listened to that song every single day for like an hour every day.
Man.
And it was just like, it was beyond material. It was beyond want. It's like, my soul yearns for you more than I could even desire any material thing on this planet, more than I could desire earthly knowledge, more than I could desire my physical appearance, any of those things. And I remember at the 24-hour prayer, I led two sets, and I was going to play it. And before I played it, another great worship leader that we have at Christian Life, Stephen, he plays it, and I go nuts. I'm like, yeah, you know.
Which, did you ever leave for the 24 hours?
I stayed 30 hours.
Well, because we had the worship nights around it.
We had the worship nights, and well, technically, I was up for 30 hours. Okay. So I did. We had the worship night starting, which I led worship for, and I stayed until the next day. What it ended at like 7. And we had a worship night then, which was like another hour and a half. And then I went out to eat with some brothers and sisters, you know, just like talking about it.
That's awesome.
And man, it was like this crazy energy. Just being in the presence of the Lord. And I'm like, man, like, I feel like a little Levite where I just get to be in the house of the Lord all day and night forever. And I'm like thinking, I'm like, man, imagine being able to do this for eternity. And you never get tired. Your knees never hurt from jumping around for 5 hours straight.
You never fall asleep.
You never fall asleep.
You're awake for 30 hours
in
the back chairs. Not saying you did that, but
no, I remember trying to make myself go to sleep.
Wow.
And I went to an office in the church, and I just laid there, and I felt like Samuel when he was just like, the Lord was just talking to him in his sleep, like, Samuel. And I felt like that in my mind, in the back of my ear. It was like, Elisha, like, get up. And I'm like, whoa. So I was laying there for like 20 minutes, and I'm just praying. And then I'm like, well, I guess I'm not sleeping at all. And so I went down and just continued. I wanted to be, I remember I gave myself a task. If I was going to be up worshiping, I wanted to be there to minister to the next worship leader coming up, pray with them, give them any kind of support that they could ever need. On Did top you, of
when you were there. All that stuff. And that's so in that season, you said that you noticed in you this, you know, call it the desire of just want. You wanted certain things, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. But that, that desire for more and more and more in us, you said that
God like materialistic.
Used, God used that song to speak to that. What was that like?
I never thought about that. I think it was honestly coincidental. Like, I was just listening to some, it was either Upper Room or Jesus Image, like just sets that they had played for worship. And I was going through this whole thing, and I'm like at work, you know, looking up shoes or something, and you know, I'm listening to this song, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I have lost the plot, you know, and like praise God that that is was the only thing that I'm going through in that moment, but it was, he still wanted me to prune those things that were maybe not pleasant to him in his eyes, like all right, like you're doing great, but like let's try to get that out as much as you can. And it used to be a huge stressor, like money, especially as a young adult, for young adults listening, like I know money can be such a stressor. It's like, only if I had more money, then maybe I would feel God's presence more. But that's not the case. So I just remember, like, you know, I was at my office at work listening to this song, and I'm like, oh, Lord, like, take this thing out of me. Like, help me realize that you are more precious than anything, and nothing that I could ever think or, you know, learn to desire can compare to you being near to me. Just for you to be near to me, not even your full manifest presence that like kills me, you know,
holiness,
from being in the presence of a holy God,
like
just being near to the Lord, like nothing can compare to that desire.
And there's nothing like it. And of course there's a balance, you know, like we're saying, there's nothing wrong with money and shoes, and, but it is that out of balance desire in us that want. It reminds me too of a song that I heard recently. It's called "I Shall Not Want" by Shane and Shane. Most all of my favorite songs are by Shane and Shane. But just listen to some of these lyrics. The verse says, "From the love of my own comfort, from the fear of having nothing, from a life of worldly passions, deliver me, O God. From the need to be understood, and from a need to be accepted, from the fear of being lonely, deliver me, O God. And I shall not want, no, I shall not want. When I taste your goodness, I shall not want." And man, there's so many powerful lyrics in that. But it's all rooted in a psalm.
It's awesome.
And I can't remember which psalm.
Yeah.
So go Google it later, podcast listener. But it's all rooted in this "I shall not want."
Yeah.
And is he enough? Can God be enough? And from him being the fulfillment of our deep desire, you know, from that space, of course we can have good things. They're all, you know, his grace to us anyways. The fact that we can eat great food and enjoy nice rooms and record a podcast or enjoy laughter or have great memories and vacation, all of that is just God's grace to us.
Yeah.
He created his creation for us to enjoy, for his glory, though.
Yes.
And the problem is when we get that all out of whack, when when we desire more and more and more and more of the good stuff at the expense of him, that's when he meets us in our office with this song out of nowhere to recalibrate us. Again, coming back to that word, these moments of worship, they're so powerful for the Holy Spirit to recalibrate our heart, for him to go, hey, hey, let me get this
100%
back into perspective.
When I started a couple weeks ago, you had sent me that link to the worship initiative, worship devotional. And I've been listening to it every single day ever since, because I'm like, this is so genius. Like the fact that we can make worship a devotion. Every morning that I wake up, it's the first thing I do is praise the Lord and I thank him for this day. And then I will worship him. And the rest of the day changes after that. And I remember talking about this on another TikTok video. And it's so great when you align with your spirit, your flesh aligns with your spirit, and you decide consciously, you're like, I am going to praise the Lord today. Like, that is what we're doing. And we're not going to give in to the desires of our flesh. We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to seek after God today. And I'm going to make this choice, and it's going to help me make more good choices to strive to get closer to the Lord today. And that's just like been the simple thing that I've been doing lately. So like, I don't know.
It's huge. It's just daily moments.
Yeah.
To recalibrate.
Exactly.
To sets everything in its rightful place for the day. And so if you're listening, our hope today and every day that you would fight to make space to worship the Lord. That's what the Psalms are all about. It's to remind our soul of the beauty of God and His majesty and who we are, dependent on Him, His creation. And so our hope for you listening is that you would do just that, that you would find time in your day to worship the Lord and become a worshiper is the motto. Well, as we wrap things up, we want to remind you to make sure to stay active in this Psalms challenge. Pick a psalm, and every day just get into it and go through the questions Pastor Ron gave us. If you haven't already, these ESV journal Bibles have been really awesome to be able to underline and circle words and write notes. And if you need some advice on a psalm to study this week, Psalm 139 is so powerful. It's just a psalm filled with just the beauty and the power of the presence of God. That there's nowhere we can go to escape His presence. And Psalm 139 is huge. I was torn as I prepare to preach my psalm sermon coming up this Sunday. I was torn between Psalm 139 or Psalm 103. So I chose 103 to teach on this Sunday. But go and check out Psalm 139 this week in your Psalms challenge. But Elisha, we're thankful that you joined me on this podcast. We could go all day.
Yeah, I am absolutely honored to be here.
Yeah.
And look at that Psalm 139, because I feel like I could write a whole, essay about it. Because it is so good whenever you just look at each stanza and like just pick it apart.
Yeah.
Just let it become part of your life. Just take it in for all that it is. And then ask God to reveal a new thing about it.
Yeah.
And then again, and then again.
Yeah.
And
it's huge.
I just had it on repeat this morning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've listened to this 20 times, but like, Lord, continue to like reveal it.
And speak to us through His word. I hear so many stories. I keep getting texts and emails and people catching me at church just about the power of how God is speaking through the Psalms. I know I've been seeing it as I read all these different Psalms. I'm seeing so many different aspects of the character of God. And it's just so cool to know these were written by real people that lived real lives and had the same struggles that we have, yet they just wrote these songs of just deep worship to the Lord. And to know that there were hundreds, if not thousands, of Israelites that would gather and sing these psalms. I'd give anything to be able to have a recording of them singing, just to hear what they would have sounded like with the instruments and the voices. And but Psalm 139 is one of those many different psalms that were once sang by the people of God. And praise the Lord, we still have it today. So may we join all of church history in this worship and singing to our God. So if you've got anything from this podcast today, you hopefully are encouraged to fight for time to worship. And not alone, get with people.
Yeah.
Get with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and turn on Spotify and sing, or somebody with a guitar or a piano or something, just to fight to get in the presence of God with the people of God. There's nothing like it. Like we've said, I've done that many a times with you, Elisha.
Many, many, many.
And hopefully many, many more for all eternity.
Yeah.
We get to do this forever. But thanks for listening today. We love you guys. Thanks for tuning in to episode 3. And we got more to come, and we're very excited. And so we hope to see you on Sunday. And we hope this week is a week full of worship. And we love you guys. Yes. And we'll see you soon.
God bless you guys.